WIP Afternoon Show, Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We still, okay.
I still don't have an idea who this is.
Yeah, we ask Jack every time, and he says he doesn't know it's from TikTok. Do we know who it is?
Yeah. Not Lil Wayne?
That's what I was going to guess.
Not Lil, like Lil Wayne.
Jack?
No, it's,
You Shazamming it now?
No, it's Who Knew Mankind?
Oh, God. I hate when he has to say a name.
And Call Me?
Yeah, you know he's butchering it. Yeah. The delegation is taking notes
right now.
Who Knew Mankind? That's his name. Who Knew Mankind? I keep on saying Hakuna Matata, but it's not a Hakuna Matata.
Matata. Yeah.
All right. The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Mark's is designing the ultimate championship ring for our listeners. Vote on the design. Find out how to win at 94WIP.com/Mark's. Does it matter to you if the Phillies get the one seed or is the two seed fine? Need the one seed is up to 55%. So probably shouldn't just give away a game. Coming up at 4 o'clock, Jordan Mailata joins us. We have a lot to talk. I want to ask Jordan Mailata, what makes Jeff Stoutland good at his job? Because we have heard so much about him being good, and he is obviously awesome.
Yeah.
But I would love to hear from somebody on the offensive line, what is it about this
guy? Well, look, me and Ike have done the Players Lounge with Jordan, mm-hmm. and there's probably no better example of Jordan, of Jeff Stoutland's like greatness at coaching than Jordan.
Yeah,
so
I mean,
he'll have a great answer for you about it. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So Elliot joins us until 4 o'clock. I mentioned Nick Sirianni was on the morning show today, and they asked him about the times when he said he will occasionally overrule Kellen Moore on a call, which he shouldn't have said, but he did say it. So on the morning show today, he said when he will choose to do that. Him bringing more people's names into it, I just...
Jason Michael, listen, he's a good center fielder for the middle 2000s, but like, we don't need his question on game day as well.
Yeah, I think, not to belabor what people should say in press conferences, because we did it with Jalen for the 5 months, but we have a good team, we talk about everything, I'm the head coach, of course I'm going to have some times when I have something to say,
yeah.
And that it ends up being it. But
yeah, because what I would say right there, that soundbite probably confuses a lot more people, or at least it gives the impression that, well, hold on, how many people are in on this decision to make a call? And who's taking, you got up there and took responsibility for everything, so why go past that and explaining about several different other coaches that also have input?
Well, I also think, like, do we overrate who the actual play caller is? Because during the week, they all come up with the plays in certain, like, 3rd and 4, this situation, 3rd and 7, that situation. So then you pick from a set of, like, 5 plays. And then Jalen audibles or Jalen changes the play. Like, I would guess the percentage of plays that Kellen Moore calls on his own that Nick had nothing to do with, Jalen had nothing to do with, and Stoutland had nothing to do with, are extremely small. So I do think this opens up a can of worms where people are going to say Nick shouldn't be stepping in. And then, of course, the one that we know he stepped in on didn't work, and it's the play everyone hates. So it doesn't help. But, you know, Nick's involved in the play calling like he was with Brian Johnson and like he was with Shane Steichen.
Yeah, I never believed that he was going to go sit in a corner somewhere and not be involved with the offense. So I never bought into that this offseason when it was sort of being presented that Nick is in a hands-off coaching sort of position. It's Kellen Moore's offense. He'll run the offense. He'll call the plays. Nick is just there.
Mm-hmm.
I never bought that. I think they allowed that perception to be out there because they felt it would quiet down people, because that's what everybody was up in arms about.
Nick, get Nick out of the offense, get rid of Brian Johnson.
Exactly. So that's what people were up in arms about, and I think they allowed that perception to go into what you said yesterday, Spike, and you even reiterated it today. That put Nick in a difficult position. You know, he has pride. Right, he's the head coach. He knows he's the one that's taking all the slings and arrows.
Mm-hmm.
So now, how does he resist trying to have a stronghold over his team?
Because he's the one that's going to lose his job
anyway. Like, so how does he resist that temptation?
Publicly.
Yeah. And by the way, Brian Johnson, Jalen looks like kind of the same quarterback as last year, and Jaden Daniels is killing it up in Washington. Which is where Brian Johnson is.
Then maybe Brian Johnson should have been a quarterbacks coach and not an offensive coordinator.
Yeah,
sounds like a good quarterbacks coach to me.
Yeah.
So now maybe, so I'm looking at the Phillies lineup.
Uh-oh.
Oh, is it out?
What you got?
Maybe they were fake drinking
We got a regular lineup.
Yeah. So
Everybody in tonight?
Not almost everybody.
Oh.
The daycare I'm playing, but
yeah.
Marsh isn't in the. Yeah.
So Schwarber, Turner, Harper, Bohm.
Okay.
Castellanos, Hayes, Sosa.
Hayes is
Stubbs,
back.
Hayes
Rojas.
Is activated. Yep. Cal Stevenson down.
So no Marsh, no Stott.
Well, they damn sure drank the heaviest last night.
Well, they would just not play. Is it like a pitcher thing?
Well, it's a lefty on the mound for the Cubs too.
Yeah.
And in the playoffs, I think they're going to go lefty with Sosa.
Okay.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think Stott's the everyday second baseman.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's lefties. It's going to be a platoon.
Sosa's a good fielder, by the way.
They're both great fielders.
Yeah. Philly's insider of the year, right there.
Yeah. Who?
Yeah.
Jack.
Yeah.
That's a nugget you just dropped. You just dropped the nugget.
Well, Jackie baseball.
You know,
nugget.
You know, digital team. Nugget. Aggregate.
That's a nugget right there. Well, are you happy now?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, let's see how
assuming,
if they win.
Assuming they can. Assuming
someone when they strike out 16 times tonight.
Yeah, we see one of them walk over to third base instead of home plate further at bat, but perhaps.
I am shocked Bomer's in there.
Yeah.
I know, because he was putting them back, man.
Yeah.
Again, it's late beer. I don't,
Also,
big guys.
There's some butt heavies mixed in there.
Also,
I ain't missed a drinker. I mean, they drink a lot of light beers.
Come on, do you even remember the Bloomsburg Huskies? Every Friday to Saturday morning practices.
By the way, if we had somebody on hold, and she's not there anymore, who is a English teacher who wanted to explain to us in spite of and despite, if you're listening, we won't put you on hold for more than 30 seconds. We'll get to you right there. If you're still listening, please call up 215-592-9494. One more thing on Nick. I thought this was an interesting back and forth from Teddy Bruschi and Rex Ryan on the coach taking the blame in a press conference for something that you didn't do. Jack noticed that when Nick was asked about the interception after the game, he said something to the effect of, we threw an interception or something to that effect. So here is the Bruschi-Rex Ryan back and forth. So Ike, you as a former player, what did you think when the head coach went up there and took the blame for something that wasn't his fault?
Yeah, I thought it was just coaches talk, coaches speak.
Okay.
I've seen it my entire career. Yep. Andy did it every week.
Did you like it?
Well, I mean, they never really actually had to defend me per se.
Of course
right?
Not.
Yes. But here's what I'll tell you. I can appreciate that more than a coach going up there saying it's his fault.
Right.
Or
right.
It's his fault. So that ain't going to fly in the locker room. I don't know what Teddy Bruschi is talking about. I understand Bill may have done things that way, but you played in one place, Teddy. You didn't play around the league with other coaches and other players. So that don't fly in today's age with today's athletes. Can you imagine? Now, this is where Nick was in the wrong, and I understand what Teddy is saying. He threw Kellen Moore under the bus. Well, I don't know if he really threw him under the bus, but he basically said Kellen Moore called the play.
Right, right.
Like last week.
We're talking about the interception.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Last
okay,
week.
Right.
That's what Rex Ryan is talking about. Yeah. Rex Ryan is talking about last week when Nick said in his press conference, Kellen Moore called
the play.
And then he said something like, are you trying to start something? Or
right. He was asked.
Something of that nature. Yeah. So he did that. And I believe that's why he came out this week and went overboard and over the top with the whole, it's my decision. I make the call. I'm responsible for everything. Because that probably didn't look good, and we didn't make a huge deal out of it because we were talking about other stuff, you know, like going for it on fourth down. But you don't do that.
Yeah.
You don't do that to your assistant coach or your offensive coordinator. You're the head coach. It's your job to get up there, and you're responsible for everything that happens on that team, whether you're directly responsible for it or not.
Well, I think in that instance, it's probably where emotion got the better of Nick, because Nick probably heard all offseason.
Yeah, it's him
hearing
the play.
Course. And then there's a bad play call. It's like, did you call that? But quickly about if he should have criticized Jalen Moore.
Yeah.
I get what Teddy Bruschi is saying, but I also think Nick has to be aware of the media market he's in. If he goes out and he says, that was on Jalen, he shouldn't have thrown that pass, we already talk all the time. Do they get along? Do they like each other? Da, da, da. I just don't think ripping players over the media is the way to go.
Yeah,
in today's media, especially.
Not the quarterback.
Especially not the quarterback.
And that quarterback and this coach.
To give Nick credit, and on the morning show this morning, he did say Jalen knows he can't fumble that football. So maybe there was something when he says that interception's on we.
I don't know how you explain away the fumble.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying,
no, you're right.
But he didn't say we fumbled the football.
Right.
Yeah.
So right, he didn't try to cover for that.
that was on Jalen.
Yeah.
So Julie is a English teacher from Delco.
Yes.
So Julie, can you explain
help
to us
out.
The difference between, if there is any, in spite of and despite?
There really isn't a big difference between despite with a D and in spite of. It both means, you know, whatever this person was doing, whatever was Jalen was doing, you know, we were able to do it anyway. The reason that you may want to be careful about using despite with a D is because it sounds too much. Sorry, that's a dog in the car. It sounds too much like two spites, which would be a very different meaning.
Oh, right, like two spites.
To spite would be to make him
something.
Mad.
Yeah. Well, yes. Yeah. I mean, because you're then doing it in order to create some negativity. So I would say that you probably are better off using in spite of, just because you don't want anyone to misunderstand.
So we were right, Elliot was wrong.
Well,
okay,
but hold on. You're saying to spite and despite sound too similar. That's
She's right. She's right. You're wrong, Elliot. Sorry.
No, I mean, I don't think they sound, and Julie, I respect your grammatical opinion on this, but I don't think to spite and despite sound similar.
They do, actually, in the way you said it. The first time you said it.
Elliot wrong. Elliot wrong.
Despite and two spites.
Julie,
I had to listen.
If anything, one's two words.
Did he just say to spite, or did he say despite?
Yep. See, he's wrong. Yep. Yeah.
All right.
This is why I thought it. And
thank
I
you for confirming. Elliot wrong.
Look, Julie, as a person who is partially a result of the Roastery Media School District, which is in Delaware County,
what?
I thank you for calling and thank you for setting Elliot straight. Thank you, Julie.
Thank you, Julie.
Look, there she clearly knows English. I don't know if she knows rhyming. Because to spite and despite don't sound similar.
No. You're saying it. No one would say, I can't believe we're doing this, but we're going to.
Yeah.
You're saying to spite. Somebody would say to spite Jalen.
Right.
To spite Jalen.
Okay.
That's how somebody
say
would
quickly.
Say it.
Okay.
Yes.
Right.
Somebody
you need the D in there.
There you go. There you go.
You want the D, don't you?
Yeah. It's called a big dose of D.
Give it to him.
Oh, my God.
By the way, those are starting to sneak into our Monday shows, too, which I didn't think was going to happen.
Because Mondays are serious.
Yeah,
joking on Monday.
Yeah, I thought our serious shows were
going to
be.
The pause thing has gone to another level since you've gotten here.
Yes,
I tried to get it out. I tried to get it out of the system.
Yeah. So we've talked about the poor defense. The defense has a performance that not only none of us saw coming, but was dominant at the same time. Was just an incredible performance. It's just your gut. Does the defense have a capability on the whole to be better than we thought they were going to be?
Yeah, I mean, I think they've outplayed the offense this season. So I think they've been the better side of the ball on this team. And I think moving forward, I think they do. I mean, they have a very good back seven. And I think that really helps. Now, their front four, not as great. Obviously, Jordan Davis had a great game. Jalen Carter was unbelievable. And I don't know if you guys got a chance to hear Fangio from when he talked earlier, but he said something I thought was interesting. He said Jalen essentially played with, you know, more focus this week or had a better week of practice. You do wonder if being benched for that series against the Falcons really kind of invigorated him this week to be better. Because he was everything that the Eagles need him to be and hope he could be. I mean, there's probably 20 players in the league that can say they have the talent to maybe be the best defensive player in the league. And Jalen, I think in games like Sunday, showed he is on that list.
Well, but do you trust he can do that week in, week out?
No, I don't.
Well,
I mean,
there's no reason to trust it yet.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I think he has the skill to do it. He has not done it yet.
Yeah, there has to be a will and a desire to be at that level week in and week out. And it's why everybody doesn't reach that level.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody doesn't reach that level. You know, I got a chance to play with Dalk, and I got a chance to play with T.O., two of the greatest athletes I've ever played with. I watched the way they trained. I saw the way they practiced. I saw the way their approach was, and it didn't let down no matter who we played. Dalk was the same way if we were playing the Jets or the Jags or was the Cowboys or Green Bay. It did not matter. T.O. wanted to roast whomever he was going up against, no matter the competition.
Mm-hmm.
When you have that level of potential, there has to be an investment in the work that's being done. There has to be a sacrifice there. And that's where Jalen has to take his game. He has to take his preparation, his training, and the desire to be that great of a player has to be there every day. It can't just be because I got benched the last week.
Right.
You know, and everybody was talking about it has to be there every week. He has the potential. He does. But there are a lot of athletes that have potential to be great and aren't great.
But he
greatness is not achieved by everyone. I couldn't be great. I didn't have the ability. You know what I mean? I don't care how hard I worked. I wasn't going to be Lawrence Taylor.
Well, so
right? Like, I just wasn't.
That's what I'm saying about Jalen Carter. Jalen Carter has the physical ability to be great. Where if he puts in that level of work, then you're talking about all-time greatness. Yeah, so
yes, sir.
I mean, I think he played 51 snaps, and I saw a stat. He had a negative impact on the Saints' offense for almost half of them. I mean, that's absurd to do that from that spot, too.
Well, and you talked about the edge guys. I mean, they were the defense was great. Brandon Graham, I mean, this is more of a next year question because the players are what they are, but Brandon Graham leading the team, the edge guys, in snaps when you just paid a guy $17 million, that is going to be an issue all year. And I hope BG can hold up the entire year playing as much as he's playing.
Well, and the other thing, and this is maybe later in your discussion, but they might have to try to convince BG to come back. I mean, he's their best defensive edge, perhaps by far.
I asked him four times during the show yesterday. Well, during the Brandon Graham show. The first thing I said was, hey, can we convince you to come back? BG said, let's get through this year and then we'll talk about it. Mm-hmm. BG did not say no.
Well, I think he's seeing that he might have another, you know, $14 million, not that much, but he might have a nice check coming.
Yeah, he will. It won't be $4
million. Yeah, right.
Yeah, they're getting him for a discount this year.
They'd be in trouble without him.
So we had a report that maybe you did say to spite, and I had Jack go get the audio.
Uh-oh.
Here is the audio. That it sounds.
It does sound it.
To spite, she was right.
She was right.
Julie was right.
So all right. Well,
it might not have been what you said, but it does sound.
It sounds like it.
I will acknowledge it sounds like it, but I said despite.
Okay.
Okay.
But I agree when you say it fast. Yes.
So you should move. We were right the entire time, Ike and I. Yeah, they're wanting to make Jalen mad. Clearly.
Yeah. No, he's popular in the locker room now.
And everyone loves him.
And by the way. That's why I said something.
Oh, so you thought
I said something.
Like, to spite.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Right. You're really disappointing, Elliot. You're...
Yeah, well, trust me.
No, we love you.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Like a miniature Daryl Morey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You look like him for real today.
Oh, yeah.
Well, my beard gets a little longer. Yeah.
You got to come in with jeans and a blazer.
Yep.
Yep. The same blazer every time.
You got to grow about 8 more inches.
Yeah, yeah. Well, look, he should come on the Clap Your Hands podcast.
All right, coming up, Elliot, I appreciate these.
Thank you for having me on.
Always great hours.
We didn't yell at each other today. That was good.
Remember, Elliot is here every Tuesday at 3 o'clock for an hour. What did you say in my ear there, Jack? I just didn't.
It's the old Twitter.
Oh, I did it.
Nice. Beautiful.
Yes. No worries. So coming up next, Jordan Mailata joins us to talk about, one, how they were able to keep up the same level of effectiveness without two starters. Also, what he sees in Nick Sirianni as a head coach and what makes Jeff Stoutland such a great offensive coordinator, offensive line coach. We have Jordan Mailata next on the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.